Oh, it's a tough time for the Postal Service, and they recognize it. I mean, mail volume has finally leveled off after dropping over the last decade by millions of pieces of mail. The Postal Rate Commission just approved another rate hike. USPS is in the middle of negotiations with employee unions. And then there's the thing called the economy, which is still sputtering along, you know, after the recession. Companies are still not advertising by mail as they once were. However, through all of this, Donahoe is very optimistic. He actually laid out a four-part strategy to re-energize the Postal Service. The first three parts deal with really external changes, including better customer service by meeting changing needs, including the internet, ensuring positive experiences for customers who come to the Postal Office or deal with the Postal Service, and competing more for package businesses. Donahoe says the fourth part looks internally.
Continue to be leaner, faster, and smarter as an organization. You know, we've talked a lot about continuous improvement over these last few years. Continuous improvement and shrinking all of our networks will require a comprehensive realignment of the operations of the Postal Service to properly manage the declining mail volume. But we've got to continue to make changes while maintaining record high services that we've achieved. So it's a real balancing act. We've done a great job in the past. We've got to do more of this going into the future.
Now, this means everything from consolidating postal routes and facilities. He also says USPS is looking actually at, if you will, outsourcing postal services to places like gas stations, general stores, specifically in small towns. You know, there's some places that already do that. You can go mail a letter and buy gas.
Right.
He said maybe we'll do more of that because it just makes sense. We need a separate facility when somebody else can take over as that postmaster.
The grocery market, someplace like that.
Exactly. They already do stamps at Costco, at Walmart. And then finally, there's the realignment of the postal workforce, which is a big, big deal as well.
So part of the workforce issue is something that we've talked about a lot, structural pensions. Did he address how the pension issue is impacting the profitability of the Postal Service?
Right. As you said, we've covered this a lot. Yeah. This is a huge deal. Donahoe says USPS has overpaid between $50 and $70 billion into the pension fund under the CSRS retirement system and now starting to have very similar challenges to the FERS system.
By the end of the year, we will be in a financial situation that with the pre-funding requirement, the $5.5 billion, we can't make that payment unless something happens. So there is a lot of interest out there in the entire community around trying to get some bills introduced that address our both short-term and long-term concerns. One of the things that we know with the FERS issue is that it's something that is right here and now. There's a number out there. There's agreement between Postal Service and the federal government on this. And what we'd like to do is get that addressed before it becomes a problem like civil service where it becomes so big. Then people are like, geez, how in the world do we get this thing resolved?
So luckily, he's got some help coming from Capitol Hill. Senators Susan Collins and Tom Carper have introduced bills to help the Postal Service address these overpayment issues. Mm-hmm. He says the bill would let the Postal Service use that overpayment to offset their current funding challenges. Now, even if they get these bills passed and they're able to use some of that money to deal with those funding issues, Donahoe says there still has to be other changes, including five-day-a-week service is still a priority to all improve profitability. And in fact, one of the ways they're looking at bringing in more money is working more with the private sector. USPS will soon sign a contract with eBay to let users on of that auction site use the Postal Service offerings directly from the eBay site. Wow. He expects that to bring in about another $700 million a year just from having that option right there on the eBay site.
So let's talk about the workforce cuts because we've seen a lot of them in the past and most of them have been through attrition. Is that kind of the model as we look forward?
Well, it's hard to say because obviously it's another big area that Donahoe expects to save money. He says USPS will trim its administrative and line managers by about 7,500 people this year.
We follow the government referrals, reduction of force. What we'll do is we'll do some RIF avoidance work up front, you know, VERAs and whatnot, and then we'll proceed down the path. I think right now we have about 30% of our people who are in those administrative functions and line supervision, well, they're already eligible for retirement. So we think that some people with some changes will just go ahead and take their retirement and move on. It's a pretty big percentage of the administrative group. It's 20% of the administrative group and about 10% of the other two. It's a pretty good chunk. Overall workforce continues to shrink.
So Donahoe says USPS has not yet decided if they're going to offer financial incentives for early retirement, but it's definitely not off the table. It could happen. It may not. He adds that among the 7,500, about 2,000 of those will be local postmasters. Now, not all workers are going to lose their jobs, per se, but a lot of these reductions will come from when people leave or retire. The positions just won't be filled. But then again, he says, you know, if we don't get enough people out the door, we may have to do some actual reduction and force some actual layoffs.
Wow.
Over the past 3 years, the Postal Service has lost about 100,000 people.
A lot of people. Let's talk about him as a person, because a brand new job for him, a lot of visibility. I remember reading his bio, but he's a former Postal Service worker, right?
He's a career Postal Service worker. That's absolutely. In fact, 35 years in the Postal Service. And he told a great story about how he actually got into the Postal Service in the first place.
My uncle, who's going to be here today, called me one day and said, hey, get out of bed and get on and take the test. I was 20 years old, and I was going to the University of Pittsburgh, a junior in college, took the test, got a good score, and got hired. And the pay at the time was $4.76 an hour. And I doubled my salary at W.T. Grant, where I was a night shift supervisor. So I went in with the idea of staying for a few years and go out and get a regular job. And 35 years later, I'm still here.
Oh, that's great.
So his uncle, Uncle Bob, was there. He was a mail carrier and a managed delivery collection in Pittsburgh. That was his career. And by the way, that he started at $4.76 per hour. He's making a little more now.
slightly more.
About probably over $260,000 a year. So what's that percentage? I'm not really, you know, the math thing.
It's done well.
But, you know, he's probably also,
he probably works more hours. It's not a 9-to-5 job anymore, so.
Or any kind of hour structure. But, you know, he's walking into a big, challenging position. But he's had the career there. He understands all the different facets of the Postal Service. He understands the people. He understands that they have to change, that they can't just say, no, we're going down that path. He's working with the unions for change. He's working with, you know, he said, myself and my deputies are going to go visit the 100 biggest advertisers in the country who don't use the mail and ask them why. Hmm. And see if we can help them understand why they should use the mail and why the mail can help them. And he made a point. He goes, you know, people who watch TV, and he goes, I'm sorry for the TV people out there, but, you know, you never know when someone's going to be watching your channel and watch one of those infomercials. Why don't you just send it through the mail? Yeah. And that's the thinking that you know, some new thinking, some new ways to address these issues.
But they still face the sort of structural thing. I mean, I think this year I got more electronic holiday cards than I've ever gotten in the past. And more with Facebook and all these other ways of reaching out to folks, it's not... The shock to me is when they talked about stopping Saturday delivery. Most of the people in my circle, friends, why they'd been doing that? That should have been the first thing. It's not the same kind of thing that it was.
And he realizes that, and that's why he says, "Listen, we're going to focus on capturing the package delivery. You know, competing with FedEx and UPS, or working with them more closely in many ways as well." Mm-hmm. Because he realizes that's why people send stuff. People still want to send stuff.
Right.
You know, Amazon still is going to send stuff. You order it online, you're going to get that through a package delivery. The USPS has got to be a viable option as part of that. Now maybe people can pick from one of three or four different places, but the USPS has got to be competitive. And I also think that's why he said, we're going to go meet with the 100 biggest advertisers who don't already use the Postal Service, because obviously direct mail is another big revenue-producing area for the Postal Service.
Federal News Radio's Jason Miller. More Monday on The Federal Drive with Tom Temin and Amy Morris. And